This is episode 63 of the Sugar Mamas podcast. Today, my guest is the super sweet Mandy Franklin. Mandy is a pediatric nurse practitioner who has been living with type 1 diabetes since she was very young. Mandy is also a blogger and the author of the adorable children's book all about T1D called Is My Best Friend a Robot? I will leave links in the show notes to Mandy's blog, her Instagram feed, and where you can find her book. Also, quick note to mention, this episode was recorded before the holidays last December, so towards the end, you'll hear us chit-chatting a little bit about our holiday plans. This is a shorter episode, so there won't be a product feature, other than Mandy's book, of course, but I do want to take a second to thank everyone who has supported the show, either by writing a review or through Buy Me a Coffee. Our most recent Buy Me a Coffee supporter, Renelle, is actually the grandmother of a type 1 warrior. As we all know, a type 1 diagnosis affects the entire family, everyone, including grandparents. And it's so nice for me to know that it's not just parents who are tuning in and benefiting from the show. Thank you again, Renelle. If you'd like to learn more about how you can easily write a review for the show or support the podcast through Buy Me a Coffee, check out the links in the show notes. All right, without further ado, let's get started. You're listening to the Sugar Mamas podcast, a show designed for moms and caregivers of type 1 diabetics. Here you'll find a community of like-minded people who are striving daily to keep their kids safe, happy, and healthy in the ever-changing world of type 1. I'm your host and fellow T1D mom, Katie Roseborough. Enjoy. Before we get started, I need you to know that nothing you hear on the Sugar Mamas podcast should be considered medical advice. Please be safe, be smart, and always consult your physician before making changes to the way you manage type 1 diabetes. Thanks. Everybody, I am here with Mandy Franklin today. And Mandy, I'm going to let you introduce yourself and tell the listeners your connection to type 1 diabetes.
Sure. Hello. Thanks for having me. My name's Mandy Franklin. I am a pediatric nurse practitioner, author, blogger, and a type 1 diabetic myself. I've been type 1 since the age of 3.
Wow. Okay. So a type 1 diabetic, you're almost your entire life. You're in the healthcare profession now. Would you mind just telling us a little bit about your type 1 journey? You know, I'm curious to know, since you were diagnosed at such a young age, has it always just kind of been part of your life, no big deal, this is what we do? Or have you gone through periods of really resenting the disease and burnout and things like that?
Yeah, great question. So I go back and forth in my head of, you know, is it better to be diagnosed when you're really young or when you're older? And there is no right answer. You know, it's been a part of my life. It's all I know. It's all I remember. So I have no memories of like going to the pantry, opening up the door and eating a box of Oreos without dosing myself first. So it is part of my life. I think everybody goes through those stages and phases of resentment of why me? Why do I have to, you know, inject myself and my friend doesn't before we go to the birthday party? So I think it's very normal that everybody with type 1 and even parents of kids with type 1 go through those why me days and periods of time. So yeah, so I think it's definitely a part of who I am. I don't want it to define me, but yes, I definitely have had those times of it's not fair type of attitude.
Yeah, I feel like even if you don't remember diagnosis day, I can't imagine going through it all and not ever having moments like that. So
yeah.
So, you know, since this podcast is designed specifically for moms and caregivers of type 1 diabetics, what do you remember about your parents and your diabetes management growing up? I guess just first, what do you remember? And then what are some things you think they did really well? And maybe some things that you think they did not do very well? Because I think it's important for parents of T1Ds to kind of hear those things.
I agree. So I actually remember bits and pieces of my diagnosis day. I remember being in the hospital. I remember raising my arm and the IV occluding and beeping. Like, I remember bits and pieces. That period of time, it was hectic. It was a winter day. I believe it was December. My father and my sister actually got into a car accident that day. They hit a deer. Thankfully, everybody was okay. The deer, not so much. My mom and I were in the hospital. So it was just like, I think probably a whirlwind of a period of time for them. And, you know, I am the baby of five kids. So this was not my parents' first rodeo. However, I was the first diabetic in the family. So it was kind of all new to them. My dad was a pharmacist, so he had a little bit of knowledge about diabetes and the medications involved, but not necessarily being the caregiver of a T1. But it's something that I appreciate. My parents are no longer with me, but something that I appreciate so much was that they never treated me differently. They allowed me to go to those birthday parties and eat the cupcakes, but I had to dose before. So they allowed me to do all of those things. And I think that that's huge. I think that as caregivers, it's important to not restrict and to not single out the child, just like you wouldn't single out a child that has asthma or some other underlying condition. You want them to live their life to the fullest and not to feel different in any way. Something that I think they could have done better is, you know, I think nowadays, you know, I am proud of my diagnosis. I wear my pump, you know, openly. With open arms, allow people to ask questions. What's that on your arm? You know, I love those questions. But back then, I really didn't know any other type 1 diabetic, and I wasn't as proud of my diagnosis. So I don't know if that's something my parents could have done better at, maybe getting more involved in the support group or, you know, Mandy, you know, you do your insulin at the table and you be proud of it. You don't have to walk away to do your insulin. So just kind of making sure as a caregiver that you tell your child or your loved one or whoever you're caring for that, be proud. This is a part of you. It's not going away anytime soon. So we have to adapt and kind of teaching your child how to answer those questions or how to respond to some negative comments that might be received. I think that that's important tools for parents to keep in their pocket for their kids.
That's a really good idea. I've never really thought about, I've definitely talked to my daughter, Sarah, about, you know, not hiding her diabetes, just because I think that would be, even though she's pretty shy about it, she not as much anymore, though, I will say. Last year at school, when she was in third grade, she wasn't willing to, hold on one sec. My kids are home for the holiday season. So, you know, you never know what you're going to get. Yeah. So what I was saying was last year when she was in third grade, she was not willing to do her injections in class. She would leave the classroom to go to the front office, which I get it. Like that can be a big disruption in the middle of class. And it was very new to her. And then she got on a pump. And so that was a lot easier because she didn't have to leave. She could just push some buttons. And then now she's actually taking a pump break. And when she told me she wanted to do that, I said, you know, that's fine. I'm totally fine with that. But I kind of would prefer it if you didn't leave class, just because, you know, you miss so much class walking to and from the office. I said, would you feel comfortable doing your injections in class this year, this time around? And she was like, I think so. And yeah, she's been doing her injections in class ever since, which I'm really, really proud of her. Yeah. And I told the teachers, I was like, I emailed them. I'm like, I don't really know what you're going to get when she comes into school tomorrow. I don't know if she's going to get if she's going to be like shy about it all, if she's going to want to leave, if she's just going to bust out with it in the middle of, you know, center time or whatever. I don't know. So if you're willing to just kind of go along for the ride with me, then that's what we're going to do. And it turns out that she just kind of went to the, like, there's a little chair in the back of her classroom and she like walks back there and does it and then walks back to her seat. So I thought that was a huge, huge job for her. And I definitely celebrated that. Yeah, because I told her at the beginning when she was so shy, I said, sweetheart, it's really up to you. Like, I can't force you to tell other people about your diabetes. I said, I will tell you, though, that you're going to be very tired and exhausted and sad if you don't just come out with it, because that's going to be really exhausting trying to hide it from everybody, because it is like you just said, it is part of you. It's not going away. Might as well embrace it, you know, like it or not. Might as well just kind of get over it, you know what I mean? Like, just come out with it to let people know.
Yeah. When I was growing up, I didn't necessarily hide it, I would say, but I didn't come out and tell people I had diabetes. So yeah. If they knew, I was like, okay, they know. But if they didn't know, I did not make it a point. And I, thinking back, I wish I did. I mean, going out with friends, going to the movies, it would have been important if they knew what a low blood sugar looked like. Mm-hmm. So I do think it's important to empower your children and, you know, let them come to terms with it on their own time, of course, and tell their friends when they're comfortable. But I think being immersed in the diabetes culture and being around the support of, you know, whether it's support through, you know, local JDRF chapters or whatever it may be, so that you can see other kids with diabetes, I think that that is such an essential tool to know that you're not the only one and you're not alone, because it can be very isolating disease if you let it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I can't imagine. I read this book. Maybe you've read it. It's called Breakthrough. It's really about the history of the discovery of insulin. And okay. I don't really know what you would call this genre, but it's like it is based on facts. So it tells the story of like Dr. Banting and Dr. Best and how they discovered and started using insulin. And it also, so Elizabeth Hughes was the daughter of an American politician, like a really high up, and I can't remember his name right now, which is shameful, but he actually ran for president at one point in time, and he ended up losing. So, and that's true also, but it kind of tells the story they put it into a fictional book. So, loved it. Great. Anybody who wants to learn more about the discovery of insulin, it's a really good way to do it, because it was a very suspenseful book. Like I was, you know, even though I knew what happened, I was on the edge of my seat. Right. However, I got to the end of the book, you know, this little girl who obviously they thought she was going to die any day now, and then insulin's discovered and now she's alive and thriving. But at the end of the book, and this is true, Elizabeth Hughes, her entire life, her main goal in life was to make sure that nobody knew she had diabetes. I know. I was heartbroken. I'm like, oh my gosh, like I loved this book and I obviously love learning about the discovery of insulin because I'm so grateful. But man, I wish she would have been more proud of I was, you know, guinea pig and here I am. And she lived, I think, into her late 70s or early 80s. But a lot of her family members didn't even know she had diabetes, which is just insane
like
to me.
Watching a movie and then the ending's bad and you're like, wait, why did I waste 2 hours watching this movie for this ending?
I know. I was so sad. And I think it's because they were such a prominent, well-known, wealthy family that I think she was ashamed of it, which just broke my heart. I'm like, girl, you gotta be proud of your diabetes, you know?
That's right. Exactly. And I think nowadays you can live a long, successful, beautiful life with diabetes and really wasn't the same thing back in the day, you know, and we didn't have as many technological advances and insulin is not the same. We didn't have the fast acting. And so it's different now. So
yeah,
maybe, you know, I'm hoping nowadays more people will feel empowered with their disease and will be proud of it.
Absolutely. Well, they make it easy to be proud now with all the fun, like, you know, decals and stickers stuff like that. It's like, let me show you my devices because they're really cute right now.
Right. Exactly.
All right. Let's see. So you are a nurse practitioner, which congratulations. That's amazing. I know
Thank
I have
you.
Two really good friends who are nurse practitioners, and that is not an easy job. And I know it's not easy to become a nurse practitioner. It takes so much schooling and training and all that. So way to go.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm a little biased. I like my nurse practitioners.
I actually see a nurse practitioner as my primary care. Like I honestly... Yeah. Couldn't even tell you what the primary care doctor at my clinic looks like at my PCP. I just have always seen the nurse practitioner. So
yeah,
and she's great. She's very thorough. I like her. But I want to know, at what point in time did you decide you wanted to be a nurse practitioner? And did your diabetes have anything to do with that?
So absolutely it did. You know, I said earlier, my dad was a pharmacist. So I knew I was always interested. We always had these like medical conversations. And that's one of the things I miss so much about having my dad in my life. It's like, he just got me. We could have these conversations and other people would be like, that's disgusting. Why are you talking about that? So I kind of always was destined to do something in the medical field. And I think absolutely having diabetes, going to your every 3 month visit and seeing your nurse and your nurse educator absolutely prompted me to go into nursing and then go into become a nurse practitioner. when I was a nurse, I worked on a general pediatric unit. I took care of kids of varying diseases, illnesses. We took care of a pretty large diabetes population. We would have those new diagnoses come in, or if kids were unfortunately in DKA, we would take care of them as well. And then I became a nurse practitioner because I wanted the autonomy and I wanted to be the one making the decisions. And I love what I do. And I can't imagine myself really doing anything else.
Do you still work in that same type of setting? Or what setting are you in now?
So now I work in outpatient and I see children 0 to 21. I see well visits, I see sick visits, I see your anxiety, your ADHD. So I see a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. I do have some patients that come to me specifically because I have diabetes. So they do feel, although I'm not necessarily their primary endo or diabetes educator, they feel more comfortable because, as we all know, there are medications that can alter your blood sugar. Illness can alter your blood sugar. So I think they just feel more comfortable knowing that their primary also has type 1.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you ever had to be the one to diagnose somebody, like send them off to the hospital?
Unfortunately, yes, because it's always in the back of my mind. And diabetes can sometimes have those very vague symptoms. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I had one kiddo who was thankfully never went into DKA, but just had these like weird, onset of symptoms. And there was a very strong family history. And I was like, I think you have diabetes. And sure enough, we diagnosed very early. But yeah. So it's always, it's always in the back of my mind, and that might not be always in the back of the mind of a primary without that medical history themselves.
Oh yeah. That's something that's been talked about a lot on the podcast already, is that how many primary care, pediatric primary care physicians missed it several times over. And I get it, because I'm in healthcare too. And if you're not, if you don't specialize in something, a lot of time it's not on your radar. So, not faulting them. But at the same time, I feel like as parents of type 1 diabetics, we should be advocating for that in our primary care offices. Hey, maybe consider making like a finger prick a regular part of a wellness visit, or even just giving them a little handout on the signs and symptoms of type 1, because they just might not catch it. I don't know if they'd appreciate that or not, but we can do our part.
Yeah. I mean, the office that I'm working at now, when I first started there, didn't have a glucometer. Mm. So I brought one of my own because I think it's essential for a primary care office to have a glucometer.
Absolutely. I think that needs to be on the list of must-have devices in a pediatric outpatient clinic.
Exactly. And I asked, what was everyone doing before? And they would send off blood work. Well, that could take, a turnaround time of 2 or 3 days. So a quick finger prick, if the kid's blood 300, let's get that quick diagnosis and get them, the insulin and the help they need without delaying care.
Absolutely. All right, let's see. So I was curious to know, not that I think any less of you whatsoever, but have you ever thought about getting like your CDCES on top of being a nurse practitioner? Do you feel like there'd be any benefit to that for you?
Yeah, so it's funny you said that. So last year when the pandemic hit, I think we all gathered new hobbies and things of that nature. So yes, I started to study for it. And I don't know if it would benefit me anymore. If I decide to go into diabetes, I feel like I am also already very knowledgeable on the disease. I don't know if it would make much of a difference, except having extra initials behind my name, which I really don't care about. So I don't think it changes the quality of care that I offer. It's still back there in the back of my brain. I have the book, so I don't know. Still debating on whether I want to go forth and do that or not.
Yeah. Do you feel like, since diabetes is already in your life and such a big part of your life, like, do you feel like being a certified diabetes care and education specialist would almost be like too much, like maybe burn out a little bit?
Yeah. I could see that. I could definitely see that. I think eventually, whenever I see a diabetic patient, I get giddy, like I get excited. So I wouldn't be surprised if eventually in my career, I do focus specifically on pediatric and type 1 diabetes. Mm-hmm. I could definitely see where it's like you are living, eating, breathing, everything diabetes, where it could lead to a little bit of burnout. if you let it. So you also have to have those outlets, I think, which is important, whether it's exercise, meditating, whatever it may be.
Absolutely. Oh, I'm a big fan of the exercising. That is my, I'm not exercising over here to fit into my pants, people. I'm exercising so I don't go insane.
I'm with you.
I know my husband and I, there was about a year where we volunteered in the preschool ministry at our church. And that was also when our kids were like baby to 3 years old. And eventually we just had to be like, we can't do this. We cannot serve in the preschool ministry because our house is a preschool ministry right now. It was just too much. Right. Like we were living it and then trying to help others with it. And we're like, no, we can't do it. So we had to move on to an older age group. We went to middle schoolers after that, which I'm not sure that was really much better, but it was at least something different than what we were experiencing at home. And I feel it might be a little similar to you, like having diabetes and also being a CDCES.
Right.
Okay. So Mandy has the cutest children's book, you guys, about type 1 diabetes. It is so cute. The name of it is just, I love it. It's called Is My Friend a Robot? And I don't even think you mentioned that in the introduction, that you were also the author of a type 1 children's book. Can you tell listeners about your book and where'd you get the idea for it?
Yeah, I always wanted to write a children's book specifically about diabetes. I felt like when I was diagnosed, there just wasn't enough literature for main characters of diabetes. And I think that that's an important piece for there to be, you know, that education for all children. You know, just like there's books where the characters are diverse, I think it's important for there to be characters, you know, when wheelchairs or they have an insulin pump or whatever it may be. So the book is called Is My Best Friend a Robot? Mm-hmm. And it's about a little girl and a little boy, they're best friends. And one day the little girl, her best friend beeping. Mm-hmm. And so naturally she thinks he's a robot, but really it's his insulin pump. So it's all about educating about the insulin pump and diabetes. And at the end of the day, they're still best friends. And they realize the types of diabetes, they're pretty much the same. You know, they eat the same foods, they play the same games, but he just has diabetes. So I've been doing some school reading, preschools, and I've been getting the most amazing questions from kids. And I love that because it shows me that their brain is, you know, it's working and it's eating up everything I'm saying to them. And I hope that next time they come in contact with someone with type 1, they don't have a negative comment to say, they don't point and stare, but they're like, oh my gosh, I learned about this. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for kids with type 1 to bring it into show and tell or whatever, just so that they can say, this is what I have. And it's an easy, digestible way to talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I love that you brought in the, you know, the robot part to it too, because, you know, everybody, I've heard a lot of people refer to, you know, oh, these are my robot parts, or I'm part robot, and robots are just such a fun concept for kids. So I love that you kind of brought robots and that kid, you know, imaginative about type one. And do they like want to see your devices? I mean, if you're on, I don't even know if you're on devices, but do they want to see?
Yes, always. So I'm on Omnipod and Dexcom, and I many times wear my Omnipod on my arm. And so, yes, I always show them my robot first.
That's so great. I love that you do school readings. I wrote a children's book, nothing to do with type 1 diabetes, so we don't need to talk about that. But I've done a few school.
Have you shown that?
Yes. Yeah. It's
oh my God.
Yeah. It's called There's a Mermaid in My Pool. And it was inspired by my childhood. But my favorite thing has been to do some readings with elementary age kids, because they ask the most ridiculous. I mean, they're amazing, but they ask the most ridiculous questions. Like, I mean, they do ask me about the book, but mostly they're like, what's your favorite color? And, you know, like, do you like pizza? And what kind of pizza? And I want to tell you about my dog that just died. And, you know, it's like, bless your heart. This is...
I'm looking up your book and I'm buying your book on Amazon, like as we speak.
Well, thanks.
This is awesome.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's isn't it so fun though to see your concept that you came up with, like actually be printed on paper and be for sale in different places? It was a dream come true for me, which it sounds like same for you.
Absolutely.
Well, where can we find your book?
My book is on Amazon right now. And then also I have it available on my Instagram. There's a link to it and on my blog, petitenp.com.
Yes, PetiteNP.com. That's such a cute name for a blog, which I was actually on there last night, and it's great. It's just healthcare related. It's not just type 1 related. It's healthcare in general for mostly for pediatrics, I noticed. Yeah.
Yes. I call it a general pediatric blog with a twist of diabetes.
Yeah, just a splash, like a good, good little diabetes cocktail. Do you have any plans for any other type 1 books or just books in general?
So, it's funny, and I don't know if you feel the same way being an author. I definitely have the itch to write more. And I don't know if it'll necessarily be diabetes related, but I think it'll be related to inclusion and differences for sure, because mm-hmm. I think that it's such an important lesson for kids to learn.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And I feel like those books are really, really popular right now too, because it's such a, it always should have been, but I feel like just recently in the past 5 years or so, it's become such an important topic for kids to learn in school and everything. Yeah, I don't have any plans for type 1 books. I mean, maybe in the future, but I do have an idea for another children's book. But I would like to go back and just add type 1 gadgets to the characters in the mermaid book, like the little girl that's in the story. Yeah, the story, I wouldn't change the story, but at the end of the book, I could say, have a little page that just kind of, you may have noticed that the girl in the story has some devices on her body, and this is what they are, and this is what type 1 is. So just
a little
education piece for kids. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. Anything else you want to chat about?
I mean, to me, the biggest thing of being a caregiver of a T1D is that it's so essential to have a support group. And I think that's, although social media can be a very damaging place, I do find that that is one of the positives about social media is finding platforms such as yourself and other people that are experiencing the same thing. So I think that that is so, so helpful. But just know where you're getting your information, of course. Not everything is truthful. But
yeah.
I think So I think it's important to, whether there's the Facebook group or like your Omnipod or your Dexcom or your Libre, but you can get your helpful hints and tips from all of those and people living with the same thing that, you are or your loved one is.
Yeah, absolutely. That was kind of first on my list of things after we got diagnosed was to find, it's the middle of pandemic. So the support groups I was finding were all virtual. And that was really the only option at the time. And yeah, just like you said, they can be great and they can also be really bad. So be careful. I do not enjoy the diabetes shaming,
I agree. And
numbers,
diets. Right. Yeah. Nobody's perfect. That's why I personally don't share a lot of number specific things on my blog, just because everybody's different. And mm-hmm. we tend to share, people in general, only the good things, which is mm-hmm. not realistic. So right. I think that, I think it's important not to play the comparison game.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. What are you doing for the holidays? You're off work, obviously, today.
So today is my day off.
Okay.
So this week I am working every day, mm-hmm. but nothing really, hanging low. We are, keeping it quiet around here, just given what's been going on right now in the world. So keeping it low key.
I guess we're keeping it low key. I mean, we're going to be with our family and they're not low key, I would say. I mean, in a good way. I mean that in the best possible way. We like to be silly and we are usually pretty loud. There's a lot of food involved. We go to my sister's house on Christmas Eve and we always, everybody brings a dish and we open presents with my side of the family on Christmas Eve. And then we go to church and then we do Christmas morning at our house. And then we see my husband's side of the family on Christmas Day, usually.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, it is awesome. When we started having kids, I kind of made the announcement that we would be in our home on Christmas morning. People are welcome to come to us and visit us, but we're not leaving our house until like noon on Christmas Day.
Make it about family and, sometimes we've taken the fun out of holidays.
Yeah, you have a big family, though. I know you said your parents were no longer with you, and I'm so sorry about that. But do you get to see your siblings around the holidays?
So my husband and I moved to Florida about 2 years ago, and most of our family, my side and his side, are in Maryland. So we actually traveled back to Maryland last week. It was the first time since the pandemic started. So it was great to see everybody and actually like hug them and not just see them via FaceTime. So that was really good to see everybody. We're Jewish, so we celebrate Hanukkah. So, but it was great. We were a week after Hanukkah when we saw them, but it was still good to be able to, you know, see them in the flesh.
Yeah. And so my kids were, you know, they learn about all the different religions and how they celebrate holidays in school. And my youngest son was like, "Mommy, do you know how many days that Jewish people get presents for at Christmas time?" And I'm like, "Well, first of all, they don't, it's not Christmas for them. They celebrate Hanukkah and it's eight." And he was like, "8 days of presents, Mommy, that's just not fair." And I'm like, "Well, okay, I don't think they're getting like lots of presents every day of the 8 days. I think it's like one present a day. So it probably works out to be about the same for you and them."
How funny. That's hysterical.
I know. And then, of course, I'm like, and that, let's just take this moment to remind ourselves that that is not why we celebrate Christmas in the first place.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yes. And the holiday season in general. But yeah, I just thought it was funny that, like, you know, that kind of like dawned on him, that was like, that is not fair. Well, all right. Before we sign off, tell everybody, I know you said we can find your book on Amazon. We can find your blog, you know, the Petite NP, right? Or Petite MP, right?
Okay. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I will link to both of those things in the show notes. And then can we follow you on Instagram too? Where else can people find you?
Yes, please. So I'm on Instagram. It's at Mandy the Petite NP. And like you said earlier, I post a lot about health topics in general, with a little bit of diabetes here and there for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Mandy. I really love chatting with
thank
you today.
You.
You're so welcome. And I just happy holidays. Happy New Year.
You too. You too. Merry Christmas. Enjoy your time off. And thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. You're very welcome. Bye.
Bye.
That's it for our show today. Remember to check out the show notes for all the links to all the things. Mandy, Mandy's blog, Mandy's book, Buy Me a Coffee, and where you can write a review for the Sugar Mamas podcast. Thanks, you guys. As always, stay calm and bolus on.